My apologies. I failed to announce that today is the last week to get tickets for the Christmas party that's coming up. So if you haven't done that, right after service will be a table set up in the back, and you can purchase tickets for the Christmas party. I'm going to ask you to stand with me for the reading of the scriptures. We're going to be out of Isaiah 9, 2, and then 2 Corinthians 4, 4 through 6. Isaiah 9, 2, and 2 Corinthians 4, 4 through 6. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And then 2 Corinthians 4, 4 through 6. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Father, over these next moments, we give our full attention to you, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us, give us truth, inspire us, challenge us this morning. Feed us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Don't you just love this time of year? Holidays are upon us. Maybe that just makes you crazy, but it's a great time of the year. The thrill of anticipation, all the extra time we get to spend with family and friends, and oh, the unwelcome dive into deep physical darkness as each day grows shorter and shorter and shorter until the 21st of December. 6 p.m. seems like midnight. We were watching some movies last night, and we wrapped a movie, and all of a sudden it was like, looked at the clock, it was only 6:15, you go, are you kidding me? I am so ready to go to bed right now. What just happened? And so this whole thing is crazy. We feel the effects of decreased energy, a loss of interest in activities that we usually enjoy, sleep disruption, sluggishness. All I want to do is sleep and eat. That's really where I'm at right now. So the decreasing light disrupts our circadian rhythm, our serotonin levels drop. There's this whole chemical thing going on inside of us. Our melatonin decreases. It impacts our mood. It impacts our sleep patterns. The simple seasonal change can really mess with our systems. It indicates just how important light is to our existence, how important it is for us to experience and enjoy the light around us. And this transitional season is a near perfect picture of the world we live in. The world we live in is full of spiritual and moral darkness, and it's slave to its effects. And the Bible uses this seasonal transition, these types of seasonal transitions, to show us the world's environment is awash in sin and darkness. I just love the fact that the church repurposed a pagan festival, the festival of the winter solstice, to contextualize the invasion of light in the sending of Jesus Christ. There are times when I have people coming to me, they're just all out of sorts. Pastor, Jesus' birthday is not in December. And I'm like, yeah, no joke. Probably March or April. And they go, what? You agree with me? Yes, I do, in fact. But here's the deal. When the church was trying to reach pagan Europe, what they decided to do is go, okay, this bunch of pagans worship their gods when everything gets dark because they're full of all kinds of fears over the darkness coming. So let's challenge them with the inbreaking of light, because what? At the darkest moment is when light begins to what? Ascend again. Let's make it this time of year where we celebrate the coming of Jesus. And they made it all about John chapter 1. So this morning, I'm just going to lay a foundation for what you're going to find the next few weeks as we move toward Christmas, not because I think we need to urge ourselves into Christmas. It's been happening since when? About August 30th. We've heard about it. It's just a matter of let's get our focus where it needs to be, on the inbreaking of light. We live in such darkness, but our God is a God who has invaded the darkness and continues to invade the darkness with the light of his glorious Son, Jesus Christ. And he's given us a ministry of reconciliation to carry the light of Jesus through the gospel to the people around us. So this morning, I want us just to open up our hearts to an infusion of divine light. And we begin by examining the need of light. Living surrounded by darkness, it can be difficult to grasp our need of light. Simple middle school science experiment kind of highlights. We'll go to this next slide. We did these with our kids. We didn't do this particular one. I think what we did is we grew goldfish in light and goldfish in darkness. So, you know, poor actual living, breathing type creatures. And it does affect the way they develop. Same thing with beans. You put beans in a lighted environment and they grow with green stems, their leaves, they foliate, and they actually do some wonderful things like producing fruit. But if you grow them in total darkness, they will grow. The urge and the just this instinctive ability, the built-in urge to grow is there. It will grow because there's nourishment, there's water. But if there's an absence of light, it just distorts how that thing grows. Even with the goldfish, it distorts their ability to grow if they grow in total darkness. Same thing happens with us. We're living in an environment of darkness. We absolutely have to have the spiritual light of Jesus Christ in order to fully develop. If we don't have Christ, we look like the plants on the right. Oh man, they're really tall, man. My beans are growing. Yeah, but they don't have any leaves on them. There's no photosynthesis going on, and there won't be a full function of what's supposed to be happening in them. The shoots remain white throughout their lifespan. Their created function is actually subverted because of the lack of light. And to understand our need of light, we need to take a moment and just consider the nature of darkness. Why is it that darkness has this kind of effect? In its most basic form, darkness is simply the absence of light. From a purely physical standpoint, darkness engenders negative thoughts, doesn't it? We tie darkness to all kinds of negative concepts. You don't grope about the house trying to find your way, stumbling over furniture, walking into walls, stubbing toes, knocking over lamps in the daylight. You do that at night. Thieves prefer to do their work under the cover of darkness. Why? Because it's hard to be found out under darkness. It's easier to catch people off guard when they're asleep. In the darkness. So darkness becomes the natural term for evil, ignorance, absence of blessing. And the New Testament writers pick this up and they make darkness a spiritual reality by speaking of the powers of darkness, a very ominous concept. And they characterize the current age as this present darkness. Darkness is almost always associated with evil, opposed to God's purposes of order and goodness in the universe and in human society. So there's this whole evil shroud that covers darkness because it is the absence of light, and light is where life flourishes. And it's with this idea in mind that Isaiah shows us that darkness is where we live. His phrases, walking in darkness and living in the land of darkness, both carry that concept. Ever since Adam's sin, humans have lived in an atmosphere of spiritual darkness. And here in Isaiah 9, Isaiah speaks of living under the oppression of a conquering army, and he ties it into this concept of darkness. A people living in darkness have seen a great light. There's hope that our conquerors are those that have oppressed us. Those that occupy our country will be overthrown and we will once again be a free people. Their life under conquest and occupation reminds us that we live in a similar environment. Satan is an oppressive conqueror of God's creation, and sin fills the world we live in with a sense of living in occupied territory, constantly under the shadow. In fact, the Apostle Paul picks this theme up in Philippians when he talks about our citizenship being in heaven. Why is that so important? Because his image in the entire book of Philippians is we are creating our own colony in enemy territory in order to dispel the darkness that's around us. Where is our citizenship? It's in heaven. Why? Because God has sent us here, placed us in this environment, in this society, in this city and region, so that we can extend his colonization of the earth. We're living in hostile territory. We're living in darkness. And our purpose is to be a colony of the light of Jesus Christ right here in the dark. Where else are people around us going to find the light of Jesus Christ? Nowhere. It's in our lives, in our actions. We need light because darkness is where we live. Our entire existence is overshadowed by evil, oppression, and injustice, all of which prevent humans from fulfilling their created purpose. It's the difference between the beings on the left and the beings on the right. One full of foliage, potential to be fruitful. The other, yeah, growing, but doesn't have any potential for life. It doesn't sustain anything because it's lived out in darkness. Physical darkness, very similar to spiritual darkness. If we live under spiritual darkness, we will lack the vibrance of full life and the fruit or the productivity that comes along with it. And now that we better understand the simple nature of darkness, let's turn to consider the essence of light. If we're going to better comprehend the biblical picture of light, we need to look at the qualities of physical light so we get what the images are all about. Light is insubstantial but real. There's light on the platform right now. That's why you can see me. But I can't do what? Grasp it. It's here. I would even tell you from physics that it's probably physical. It's more than just a wave. There are particles in the room that are helping us see. But we cannot grasp them, control them, or fully contain them. Sometimes we can harness them. You've heard of lasers, right? Sometimes we can harness them. You have headlights on your car. But it's insubstantial beyond the unit that is actually projecting the light. You can't touch, you can't capture or store light, but it's real. And even though it's immaterial, we know that light is real. It always has a source. It's never accidental. I don't ever walk into a lighted room and go, wow, I wonder where the light's coming from. We know instinct. What? You look. It's like, oh, there's a fixture over there somewhere, or it's coming through the windows. It always has a source. Daylight comes from the sun. Our cloudless nights are lit by the moon and the stars, and our lamps provide us light at night. Light illuminates the darkness. It allows us to see. I saw this happen just this week. I was headed probably 5:30 out of here toward the grocery store to see whatever somebody else had fixed for supper. And as I was driving that direction, someone was driving this direction in the dark without their headlights on. In a black car. Can you imagine if all of us were driving around in the dark without headlights on? It'd be a disaster. Absolute disaster. We wouldn't know where the other person was. It'd be hard to judge distances. I mean, we'd get accustomed to it, but it'd be incredibly difficult to do. Light is vital for life. It's vital for everything we do. How much food do we have without light? None. Even the coldest winter day that we might experience in January or February this year is warmer if the sun comes out. That's how important light is. We have to have light to live. But light symbolizes a number of things. Light symbolizes goodness and blessing. Light symbolizes goodness and blessing. Do you feel different today than you did 3 or 4 days ago when we had a run of just gray, miserable days? Oh, I ruined it. I said miserable. We always feel better on a sunny day. I got up this morning, and I mean, I was up early enough that there wasn't much sunlight out, but I looked outside, and it's like, oh, wait a minute. There's actually going to be sunlight for some reason today. This is so exciting. It changes our perspective on what's happening. It changes our emotions, our attitudes, our overall outlook. It affects us at a fundamental level. Our body chemistry changes in the presence of sunshine. And Scripture keys off on the physical benefits of light and uses light to represent God's goodness in its fullness. For example, Psalm 97:11 states, "Light dawns for the righteous and joy for the upright of heart." Proverbs 4:18 observes that the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It's growing brighter until the completion or the fullness of the day. It symbolizes God's goodness, His favor, His blessing. Light symbolizes the truth. If darkness is evil and evil is rooted in deception, then light is life and it is rooted in the truth. I know it's so difficult sometimes in this culture because people continue to insist that there is no such thing as truth. They keep telling us that truth is an individual experience. Oh, you have your truth, I have my truth. It's good. You just stay true to your truth and I'll stay true to my truth. I'm telling you, someday those two truths are going to crash into each other and there's going to be disaster. And if there is no truth or we believe there is no truth, then we have chaos because who is the one who determines the truth? There is absolute truth. And we need it because we need light in the moral darkness that is surrounding us continually. The handful of times people have brought that whole concept of, oh, my truth is my truth and your truth is your truth out to me, I usually get out my tape measure. And I just lay it on the desk and I bring it out to 12 inches and I said, how long is that? Well, that's a foot. And I say, well, who says? How do you know? Well, because somebody determined that that's 12 inches. And there's an absolute in our world that says 12 inches is 12 inches. I want the person who builds my house to understand that you put the studs at 16 inches because everything else is dependent upon it. If your 16 inches is different than my 16 inches, we have a disaster going on here. Especially if your 16 inches is different than the hardware store 16 inches or the lumberyard 16 inches, that becomes a total chaotic nightmare. Well, I ordered this. Yeah, exactly. And it's all based on a what? A 16-inch system because you need 48 inches. Why is plywood 4x8? Because it fits into a 16-inch scheme. So everything fits the way it's supposed to fit. There has to be what? Absolute truth. And when we have moral chaos and moral darkness and everybody going around saying, I can do whatever I please, what do we need? We need to embrace the light of truth. Desperately. Truth is symbolized by light. It shines in and it shows us just how dark things really are. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this age, Satan, blinds the minds of the unbelieving to the glorious light of the gospel. Psalm 119:105 says, your word, Lord, is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Satan is keeping people in darkness, ruining their lives, preventing them from being fruitful, and God sheds light on us, causing us to burst out into the fullness of light that he has designed for us. Ultimately, Messiah is the light. Ultimately, Messiah is the light. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Isaiah 9:2 tells us that those living in the land of darkness have seen a great light. He goes on to prophesy about Jesus in verse 6. Unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and he will be called the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And Jesus' own words in John 8:12 draw all of these things together, and he makes this confession, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will be the light of life. I like that, because it's like, if you follow me, not only will you not walk in darkness, but you too will be an instrument, an element of light transmission in a culture, in a world of utter moral and spiritual darkness. I bring life, you will bring life because you believe in me. So how do we open ourselves up to God's light? What do we do? Well, just like the bean plants grown in darkness, living in that environment of constant darkness, we have to open ourselves up. We can place ourselves in the light. If we refuse to open ourselves up to God's light, we will remain stunted in our growth, anemic, unfruitful, and that, according to what I read in the Gospels, is unacceptable. What does Jesus do to the unproductive branches that are on the vine in John chapter 15? It's horrifying. The image is what? He cuts them off and he throws them into the fire. My friends, I think there's a moment here where we have to pause and go, I think I better be fruitful. Jesus demands it. The pastor doesn't demand it. The church doesn't demand it. The Lord demands fruitfulness. Therefore, as a Christian, I am obligated, I am urged to live in the light of Jesus Christ so that I can be fruitful. All of creation is depending on light for fullness of life. We depend on Christ for fullness of light. Humans cannot grow to their full potential nor enjoy life to its fullest apart from God's infusion of light in Christ. I don't care what the commercials tell you. There is no fullness of life without Jesus Christ. If you own this, or if you buy this, or if you go there, you'll enjoy fullness of life temporarily. Fullness of life comes through Jesus Christ. That's where it resides. He's the light of the world. And apart from that infusion of Christ's life, we grow, but we don't grow into fruitfulness and productivity. How can we make sure that we're living in light, in the fullness of life? By living in God's light. We open up to God's light by recognizing the darkness around us. Do not sugarcoat what the environment is like where we live. The elevation of tolerance as a cultural value makes a fearful thing to disagree with anything, let alone to classify things as displeasing to God or say that's really dark and evil. Light represents what? Truth. And the only way to shatter the darkness is to tell the truth. Is it evil? Much of our culture is, yes. So tell the truth. Don't be rude and obnoxious about it. You just say, wow, that's wrong. It damages people. The outcomes are horrific. And not only that, it's displeasing to God. I mean, I come to the point where I think, can anybody get away with saying this culture is wicked without other people becoming unhinged? Is it possible to stand for justice, morality, or what's right without being branded and ostracized? It's coming to the point where the answer to that question is going to be no. The human tendency to brand and to isolate those who stand for what's right is simply a way of keeping people in darkness, which prevents them from enjoying the fullness of the life of Christ. It's like when you walk into your teenage kid's room and they're dead asleep and you turn the lights on, you throw up the blinds. What do they do? Oh, man, what have you done to me? That's what happens when we dare to live by the truth and speak the truth in a culture that is morally and spiritually unhinged, living in darkness. We should not, no matter how nice we are, we should not be surprised by the resistance and the rejection that the light brings. Another reason to recognize the darkness surrounding us is that it does affect us. And this is the danger. When trees begin to experience autumn's decreasing sunlight, what happens to them? They change color. Then the leaves drop and they go into total dormancy. I do not, and you do not, want to be so attuned and so in love with the world that the effect of the world on us is dormancy. You know where I'm headed here? That it's possible for us as Christian people to be so wrapped up, so rooted and grounded in the sinfulness of our culture, so enjoying of what it offers, that it throws us into spiritual dormancy, and we can't be fruitful for an entire season because we have welcomed sin into our own lives. And it's not just, obviously, it is all the things that are on the list of don'ts, but it's not just those things. There are things that are okay that we elevate to places of sinfulness because we become obsessed with them. And we need to consider the broadness of this experience. We don't want anything to throw us into spiritual dormancy because Christ wants us to bear much fruit and fruit that is perpetual, fruit that remains. When the leaves drop, there is no bud or fruit. The tree provides no shade. It's barren. It's nearly dead for a season. When Christians allow themselves to live under spiritual and moral darkness, the same things happen. Signs of life begin to disappear. We're no longer affecting the lives of others toward Christ and His life-giving wholeness. We overlook the vibrant, delightful, and eternal exchanging for the temporary. We also open to God's light by recognizing our need for His light. In the Gospel of John, he makes this comment about our love of darkness and the pathway to life and light. Words of John, narrating the story of Jesus. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people have loved darkness instead. That's what we grow up in. We love it. They love darkness instead because their deeds were evil. And everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed, because that's what light does. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. There's that connection between light and truth again. So that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. It changes our lives when we step out in the light and we say, I'm going to live by the truth. I'm not afraid to step out in the light and let God see everything I do. I'm going to live my life in front of Him and let Him be pleased with my light, with my life of light. I want to be out there so that no one can accuse, so that no one can say. The problem is that we have a tendency to still love the shadows. We want to live in the shadows. There's no reason to live in the shadows. We need the light of Christ to flourish. And the way we enter His light is to believe in Him and continue believing in Him, living by the truth, day after day, moment by moment. Living by the truth requires a recognition that our sinfulness was offensive to God and that we need His forgiveness. And then continuing to live in light requires that we live a life in the sight of God. And when we open to God's light, we see life more clearly. I mean, how could you not? Life in the world is a life of blindness. That's what 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us. Blindness to Christ's life-changing good news. Blindness to the importance of eternity. Blindness to the fullness of purpose and wholeness that God provides to every arena of life. Satan blinds the minds of the unbelieving to the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ is reconciling all things to Himself. His sacrifice affects all of life and all of creation, not just the fallen human. It affects our work. It affects our relationships. It affects our interaction with creation. His light is meant to help us flourish in every aspect of life, and we need it so that we can see every aspect more clearly. One of the major struggles we have in Western culture is that we segment every part of our life off. I have my work life. I have my Christian life. I have my recreational life. I have my family life. Some of those have a little overlapping thing, but we have our little containers. We jam it all in. And that's not how God intended it to be. In fact, Western Christianity is so into segmenting that we have entire theologies of body, soul, and spirit that are Greek, not necessarily biblical. I tell you, in the Old Testament, they don't talk about body, soul, and spirit. They talk about the human being. I love that. You are a whole person. And all of life is affected by everything God does. One of the greatest tragedies when we take one segment of life or two segments of life and we just ship it over into one area. This is my work life. Well, the question I ask is your work life not affected by the redemption that's happening in you through Jesus Christ? Of course it is. And not only that, your work life is a God-designed life that started before the fall of man. God gave responsibility to us. We're out there participating in that responsibility. This is how light affects us. When we see the light, we begin to see our work as purposeful. When I'm doing whatever I'm doing, I am joining with God in participating as a co-creator and as a worker who is advancing the rule of Christ wherever I go. What does God say? He says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. This is the responsibility of humankind. So what are we doing right now? What is my job? I'm here to subdue the earth and extend the rule of Christ everywhere I go. In every aspect. It affects everything. And when we begin to see the light, we live in the light, we begin to see even those aspects that we've tried to cordon off as something separate, as something that is, what, integrated as a whole. Every aspect of life flows out of our relationship with Christ and the light that he brings to it. Do you want the best life you could possibly live? Do you want to flourish while you're here on earth? Do you want to leave a legacy of Christ-likeness and lives changed? Then live in Christ's life. Don't compromise. Don't live a half-shadowed Christian existence. Don't settle for the morbid, unfruitful, dismissive existence of darkness. Live fully in the light of Christ, in truth, in enjoying his redemptive effects on every aspect of your existence. Very clear this morning as we're worshiping. It's not like it's prophetic, but there was just something different about it. As I'm here, I'm getting this impression. There are some people who have been deeply impacted by darkness recently. And they need either to celebrate the light that God has given them in the middle of that, or they need to step out into the light that God wants to give them in the middle of that. He is a light giver, which automatically means he is a life giver. No matter how dark the circumstance, he can give a song in your heart, right? He brings it when we need it most. Listen, I was sitting with a grandmother who'd raised her grandson just a few weeks ago. Grandson had committed suicide in his bedroom in their home. They needed hope and they needed peace. And the Holy Spirit gave her a dream of that grandson doing something he couldn't physically do while he was here on earth. You tell me God doesn't love us deeply. He does love us deeply, so deeply he would break into the middle of that disastrous, nightmarish situation and say, here is some hope and some peace and some resolve that you desperately need for this broken, ruined, mentally struggling young man. You need this. How dark is that circumstance? My word, it's dark. But here's God doing what? Breaking into the light. How dark is the circumstance with Nevia? God breaks in with light over and over and over again. Your circumstance, my circumstance, God is just waiting to break in with that light. I'm going to ask Natalie if you'd come to the piano, please. We're going to take some time this morning, and it doesn't matter if you need to celebrate the light that God has given or whether you just need to say, I need someone to pray with me that God would break in to this circumstance with light. I'm going to ask you to come and join me right here near the front. And we're going to pray and we're going to praise. Our God is a giver of light. He's a giver of life. You need him to break into your circumstance with light. Would you come and join me? Maybe he's already broken into your circumstance with light. Would you come and join me and let's praise together and let's pray together that God would meet that need, that God would break in with light, or if God has broken in with light, we want to celebrate the light that he's given. And as you see these friends come, would you come and just quickly join them. Just say, hey, what are you here for? You're here for prayer, you're here to praise. And if they're here to praise, praise with them. If they're here to pray, pray with them. Let's make sure we have somebody praying with everybody that's here. I need some friends to come very quickly. Would you please? And let's make sure everybody has somebody standing with them today and praising and praying. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you and we exalt you. Father, we are so grateful for the breaking in of light in the middle of the darkness, that we are not expected to live perpetually in a fruitless, lifeless sense of evil and darkness. You have broken in. And Lord, we pray that you continue to turn the light up, intensifying the brightness, intensifying the life-giving aspects. And help us, Jesus, as your word said in John 8:12, you're the light of the world, but as we believe in you, we become the light of the world as well. We go from this place to be light in a very dark environment. Help us, Lord, to shine brightly this week so that others can get a taste of life, your life through us. In Jesus' name, amen.